Good morning. Today's Daf Baba Basra is Tes Vav. We are on Yudalim and Beis. We're starting at the two dots, a little bit more than halfway down the Amud, third to last short line of the Amud. We're starting with a Braisa Tana Rabbanan. As we approach the end of the first paragraph of Baba Basra, so we are going to be talking about Sifrei Tanakh and Divrei Agadata, specifically a lot around Iyov, Sefer Iyov. So between today, tomorrow, and a little bit on Wednesday, so we're going to become much more familiar with Sefer Iyov. So we got into this discussion. The Mishnah made a comment going back a couple days on Yud Aleph that you're not allowed to break up Tanakh. If you're Yorish together with your brother, one of the Svarim of Tanakh, so you can't break it up. Even if the two brothers want to divide the Sifrei Tanakh, so you cannot do so. We learned yesterday, we quoted a Tosus yesterday's daf, that there's nothing objectively wrong with breaking up Sifrei Tanakh, meaning if you have a scroll and it has on it Torah, Nevi'im, and Ksuvim, nothing objectively wrong with it, but just if brothers inherit it, it's just pasnish, it's just not appropriate. It's Rashi's language is Ganai, to go ahead and to break it up. So as long as we brought up Sifrei Tanakh, so this is the Gemara's now opportunity to discuss order and authorship. We are two main topics of today's Gemara is the order of Sifrei Tanakh and the authorship of Sifrei Tanakh. Obviously, there's a basic knowledge of what the Sifrei Tanakh are. So I'll try to give as much information over as possible in the next minutes that we have together. Tana Rabbanan, we are starting with a Braisa, Sidron Shel Nevi'im. So now we're talking about the Sfarim of Nevi'im. There are eight Sfarim of Nevi'im. And they are Yehoshua, Shofshin, Shmuel, Malachim. So, and that is chronological, where Yehoshua goes into Eretz Yisrael, Shoftim, the hundreds of years that takes place between Yehoshua and the first king, Shmuel, an introduction to the first king of Eretz Yisrael, and Malachim, which then chronologues the kings going up to the end of Bais Rishon. So Yirmiyahu, Yechezkel, Yeshayahu, Shemasar. And then as far as the next four Sfarim of Nevi'im, so they are not in chronological order, but Yirmiyahu, Yechezkel, Yeshayahu, Shemasar. Shemasar, obviously what we refer to as Treyasar, so 12 minor prophets. The word minor over here is a word that's colloquially used all the time to describe them. They're not minor, they're just smaller. And so therefore they were collected and they were put into its own sefer. Gemara later on will say that the reason why that was done so is because for fear of losing them, so therefore they were collected and put into a small sefer. So those are the eight Sfarim of Navi, and the Gemara goes on to describe. Now the Gemara says, now in terms of chronology, it doesn't make any sense. I shouldn't say it so definitively. Not that it makes no sense, but specifically Sefer Hoshea. Sefer Hoshea is the first Sefer of Treyasar. So the Gemara says that he was Tchilas Dibar Hashem Hoshea, that the Kadosh Baruch Hu spoke to him first. Now, V'chi Im Hoshea Dibar Tchila, V'lam Im Moshe V'ad Hoshea Kamen Evim Hayu. Now, up until Hoshea as being a Navi, Hoshea lived towards the end of Bais Rishon. There were many Nevi'im between Moshe Rabbeinu and Hoshea. So how do you even understand the opening pasuk of Hoshea? So the Gemara says no. What it means is that contextually in his time period, so he was the first of four, meaning he was in historical time frame at the same time as Yeshayahu, Amos, and Micha. What time frame are we talking about? So if you take a look at Rashi over here, so Rashi writes Shenisnav Bo. So, Perek Rashi is above where we are in the Gemara, a little bit less than halfway down the Amud. Rashi says, "Bemei Osam Hamalachim Uziah Yosam Achaz Yechizkiya." It's right, synonymous with Chizkiyahu. So, Ba'arba Neviim Halalu Ksiv Kain Chutz Mimicha Shlo Haya Bemei Uziah Ava Haya Bemei Yosam Achaz Yechizkiya. So the Gemara says, Rashi writes that with exception to Micha, but in other words, these four were all historically in the same time period. So this is now towards the end of Bais Rishon, meaning if you look at the list once again of the kings that coordinated with these Nevi'im, so they are, Rashi says, Uziah, Yosam, Achaz, Yechizkiya. I made that mistake again. Yechizkiah, which is again synonymous with Chizkiyahu. So he was the last of the, so to say, good kings of Malchi Yehuda. Right? Remember, he had a son, Menasheh, who was not. And basically, after that point in time, there were couple more kings of Yehuda until the end of Bais Rishon, but basically we're now tailing off towards the end of Bais Rishon, but we're not there yet. So in other words, these Nevi'im came basically towards the end of Bais Rishon, but not at the end of Bais Rishon. And now with that in mind, so the Gemara asks a simple question. So why is Hoshea tucked away in Treyasar, which is the end of Nevi'im, when historically, chronologically, he belongs much earlier? So the Gemara says, V'liktim ela Hoshea Bereisha. So why don't we, back to the Gemara, so why don't we put Hoshea back in the beginning? So the Gemara says, Kevin dechsiv nevuasei gabi chag zechari melachi. So the Gemara says, look, Hoshea did not get his own sefer. He wrote a small sefer. And his sefer was put together with other smaller Nevi'im, notably Chagai Zecharia Malachi. We also know that Chagai Zecharia Malachi historically was all the way at the end. When I say all the way at the end, I mean beyond Chorban Bais Rishon, we're talking about beginning of Bais Sheni. Chagai Zecharia Malachi Sof Nevi'im Avu. So they are the end of the Nevi'im. Meaning we know that the beginning of Bais Sheni represented the end of Nevi'us. There was no longer any prophets at the beginning of Bais Sheni, and they represent the end of the train in terms of the Nevi'im. So therefore, Chashiv Le Behadayu. So that is why Hoshea is put together with Chagai Zecharia Malachi as a sefer. Chagai Zecharia Malachi belong at the end. So therefore, Hoshea, even though historically comes earlier, but nevertheless, so because he's put with these Nevi'im, so therefore he's put at the end. So the Gemara says, okay, so why don't you give Hoshea his own sefer? Meaning, if the issue is an issue of who he's lumped with, so don't lump him with Chagai Zecharia Malachi, give him his own sefer, and that way you can chronologically put him in the right place. So the Gemara says, I dizuter mirchas. So the Gemara says, okay, but I'll tell you why we didn't do that, because his sefer Navi is so small, so we're afraid that's going to get lost, so that's why it was placed together with the other smaller Nevi'im. So, okay, so basically it's one point leads to another. So, it's a small Navi. He's put together with Chagai Zecharia Malachi. So, yes, principally we'd like to put him earlier, but he's with Treyasar. And because he's with the other Treyasar, and because the other Treyasar is predominantly historically at the end, so therefore Hoshea's placement in Tanakh comes at a later point in time, even though historically it comes in an earlier period in time. So the Gemara says, okay, now in the list of Nevi'im that was given to us, so we had Yeshayahu coming after Yirmiyahu and after Yechezkel. Meaning, if you go back to the list and you look at the list that's presented to us, so it was after Malachim, it was Yirmiyahu, Yechezkel, and then Yeshayahu. And then the Gemara says, and that doesn't make any sense, because chronologically, Yeshayahu comes earlier. Yirmiyahu and Yechezkel are there witnessing Chorban Bayis Rishon. They see the destruction of the first temple. Yeshayahu did not see Chorban Bayis Rishon. So historically, he comes in an early period in time. So why don't we put him historically earlier? So Liktim Elisha. So the Gemara says, Keva, the Malachim Sefer Chorbana. So the Gemara says, once we get to the Sefer Malachim in the Navi, meaning Yehoshua, Shoftim, Shmuel, and Malachim, that's all chronological. From that point going forward, it no longer works on a chronological basis, but works on a thematic basis. And the Gemara goes on to explain that that the end of Malachim deals with the Chorban Bayis Rishon. Now, Yirmiyahu Kule Chorbana. So Yirmiyahu is all about the Chorban. So thematically now, it fits in with the end of Sefer Malachim. That's why Yirmiyahu follows Sefer Malachim. And Yechezkel, Reisha Chorban Sefer Nechemta. Yechezkel is a blend. First describing Chorban Bayis Rishon, and then Nechama, comfort, and a hope for the future. And Yeshayahu, Kula Nechemta. And Sefer Yeshayahu is predominantly Nechama. It's about comfort. So as a result of that, so therefore, Sefer Yeshayahu is at the end. So basically now we have the thematic bridge that takes us from Sefer Malachim, which at the end is Chorban, then Yirmiyahu, which is Chorban, then Yechezkel, which takes us from Chorban to Nechama, and then Yeshayahu, which is predominantly Nechama. Okay, so far we have outlined in detail now the 8 Svarim of Navi. So what do we have so far? We have 4 Svarim of Chumash, right? Chamisha Chumshei Torah, followed then by eight Svarim of Navi. So now, just do the math, there are 24 Sifrei Tanakh, so that's now going to leave us 11 Svarim for the Ksuvim. Sijon Shel Ksuvim, and as far as the state of Ksuvim is concerned, so here they are. Just as a basic question, which begs an answer, what is the difference between Nevi'im and Ksuvim? Meaning, when we know that when it comes to the difference between Torah and Nevi'im, so Moshe Rabbeinu is Amikol Nevi'im, he is the head of the Navi, so he had the clearest communication with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, and so you understand that there is a qualitative difference between Moshe and the other Nevi'im, and the Kedusha of the Torah obviously exceeds that of the Navi. The Gemara Megillah tells us that you can't put a Navi on top of a Chumash. Chumash has to go on top of a Navi. What's the difference between Nevi'im and Ksuvim? And as we're going to see authorship later on this morning, the Ksuvim were also written by Nevi'im. So what is the difference? So that it demands somewhat of an approach. I'm not going to detail it. I saw in the Masif that he gives a number of different approaches in terms of what they are, but it's a kind of question that begs an answer in terms of why categorically is Nevi'im and Ksuvim separated from one another. Sijon Shel Ksuvim, so Rus V'Sefer Tehillim V'Il V'Mishlei Kol Asher Hashem V'Kinos Daniel Megillas Esther Ezra V'Divrei HaYamim. So the Gemara just simply rattles off the 11 Sifrei Svarim of Ksuvim. Now, once again, if you're looking for order, so the Gemara says it's a little bit hard to decode exactly how the order works. So V'Laman Damar Iyov Bimei Moshe Haya. So the Gemara says, now, as far as Iyov is concerned, when did Iyov live? So as you'll see over the course of today's daf, that is a moving target. We do not know when Iyov lives. When I say we do not know, I'm meaning there are opinions in the Gemara, but from our perspective, Iyov is all over the place historically. So, but there is an opinion that Iyov lived during the time of Moshe. So again, the Gemara starts with the assumption that the order of Ksuvim should follow a historical path, not a thematic path. And therefore, Iyov should be at the beginning of the list, and he's not. Now, he's towards the beginning of the list, meaning we have Rus, Sefer Tehillim, and then Iyov. But if Iyov lived during the time of Moshe, so Iyov should come first. So the Gemara says, it's Chulib B'Praneo Solom Eschalinan. So the Gemara starts off with an explanation. Well, you know, Iyov is a lot about destruction, death and destruction. We'll talk more about Iyov in the course of the second half of today's daf and in tomorrow's daf. So therefore, not befitting to put him in the beginning of Ksuvim. So Rus Nami Peron Yossi. Gemara says, you ever read Sefer Rus? So Sefer Rus also has to do with destruction. So Peron Yossi Islei Achris. Yes, it's true, there's destruction in Rus and there's death in Rus, but it ends on a hope. So the Gemara says, the Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Lama Nikrash Ma Rus, Shiyatza Mimena David, Shiriveyu La Kadosh Baruch Hu B'Shiros V'Sushbachos. So it's called Rus because Rus ends up becoming the matriarch of David HaMelech, who provides Shiros V'Sushbachos in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so it ends on an up note. So the Gemara is, and I'm sorry, Tosfos points out over here, so does Iyov. Iyov also ends on an up note. So the Gemara says that's true, but different up notes. Look at the last Tosfos on the Amud. Peranus Yis Be'achris, V'im Tamar Iyov Nami Yis Be'achris. So Iyov ends on a good note. V'Yishlamar Da'ai Achris to Rus Achris to Chol Yisrael. Yeah, the Rus is a national up note, right? David HaMelech, which is the king of Melech Yisrael. V'odik l'man amar delo kefal kash baruch uschara el tor deman ha'olam. That last line of Tosos, I'll explain later on when we get to the Gemara. So it's a rough line, but the Gemara says it, and I'll explain it later. But basically, Iyov does not necessarily end on an up note. Okay, so Umi Kasvan. All right, so here we go. So far now we dealt with the Svarim of Tanakh. We ended with going through the five Svarim of Chumash of Torah, the eight Svarim of Navi, the 11 Svarim of Ksuvim, and so now after having gone through the 24 Sifrei Tanakh, so now we're looking at authorship. So Umi Kasvan. So who wrote this Svarim? So Moshe. So as far as Moshe Rabbeinu is concerned, Kasav Sifra Uparshas Bilam V'Iyov. So Moshe is responsible for the writing of his own Sefer, meaning Sefer Torah. Uparshas Bilam. Now Parsha Bilam. Now that's a little bit strange, because the Parsha Bilam is contained in the Chumash. So why would the Gemara over here put Parshas Bilam as its own separate independent entity? We're going to read the Rashi. Rashi writes, Sefer Bilam, Parshas Balaam, Nevuah so umashalav. So the Nevuah and the parables of Balaam, meaning if you open up Chumash and you go through Parshas Balaam, so you will see it there. Parshas Balak, actually, but you'll see it there. Now, Afa Pisha Inan Sarche Moshe Visaraso Viseder Masav. Why was it categorically put in its own category? Rashi says because it has nothing to do with Moshe, his Torah, and Seder Masav. In other words, there's no real thematic connection between Sefer Balaam and Parshas Balaam and the remainder of Chumash. And that's why you might have thought that it was written by somebody else, and that's why the Gemara has to go over specifically a separate point that the authorship of Sefer Balaam, of Parshas Balaam, is in fact Moshe Rabbeinu. Rashi is, quite frankly, difficult to understand. There are a number of areas in the Torah that are not connected to Moshe Rabbeinu, nor to the Torah. You could basically highlight, you know, a good part of Sefer Bereishis. Although, I mean, Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, that has to do with the patriarchs of the Jewish people. So maybe there you could say thematically connected, but Noach and Parshas Bereishis and Cain Vehevel. Okay. Anyway, point being that Rashi, just right now I'm just presenting Shitas Rashi in terms of why Parshas Balaam gets its own separate highlight. So far, Moshe is responsible for the rewriting of the Sefer Torah and Parshas Balaam and Sefer Iyo. Back to the Gemara. Four lines from the bottom. On Yudal Medbeis. Yoshua Kasav Sifro Ushmuna Pesukim Shebetorah. So Yoshua was responsible for writing his own Sefer and also the last eight Pesukim of the Torah. Stay tuned, we're going to discuss that in more detail later on. Shmuel Kasav Sifro Vishoftim Virus. Shmuel was responsible for writing his own Sefer, also Sefer Shoftim, and also Sefer Rus. David Kasav Sefer Tehillim, Aideh Asar Zekanim. David was responsible for the authorship of Sefer Tehillim in conjunction with Asar Zekanim, 10 elders, and they are Aideh Adam Rishon, Aideh Malki Tzedek, Aideh Avram, Aideh Moshe, Aideh Haman, Aideh Yidusun, Aideh Asaf. Now, these last three names that I just reported, it could very well be that you're not familiar with these names. Take a look at the Rashi towards the bottom. Rashi writes, Ayyidei Moshe, Tfilah Moshe. No, I didn't want that Rashi. Next Rashi, Ayyidei Haman, Maskil Haman, Ayyidei Yidusan, Lamasech Lidusan. So Rashi just quoting the Psukim in Tehillim that give attribution to these people. And no, okay, I'm sorry. Rashi over here does not identify who they are. Ayyidei Asaf, sorry. Top of Tezvav Amidal, Ayyidei Shoshes Bnei Korach, and also the three sons of Korach. Okay, just as an interesting note, a very interesting note, in terms of Sefer Tehillim and its authorship, so it says that David composed it in conjunction with the 10 elders. You notice that the Torah does list 10 elders, but it's interesting because after having gone through the 10 elders, what does that mean in terms of David and his authorship of Sefer Tehillim? Meaning, what does that mean? He's just the editor? Meaning, he didn't compose any of them himself, and they were all done exclusively through the 10? So, and what about his son Shlomo? Also had nothing to do with Sefer Tehillim? So, see the top Tosfos on Tezvav Amud Aleph for a discussion of that. Okay, Yirmiyahu. So far we are now basically have taken us through the authorship of Sefer Torah, Yehoshua, Shoftim, Shmuel. Okay, right, and we are still right. So that's what we're up to in terms of authorship. Yirmiyahu Kasav Sifro v'Sefer Malachim v'Kinos. Yirmiyahu was responsible for writing his own Sefer and also Sefer Malachim. Which makes sense, meaning Yirmiyahu lived at the Churban Bais Rishon. Sefer Malachim basically takes us to Churban Bais Rishon. So, that doesn't take us to. Also describes Churban Bais Rishon. And also Kinos. Kinos is the Gemara's way of describing Eicha. So these three Sfarim were authored by Yirmiyahu. Chizkiyahu v'siyato kasvu. Now, as far as Chizkiyahu is concerned, now Chizkiyahu was a king. And Siato, and those that lived during his day, that were Nevi'im. So they were responsible for writing Yeshayahu, Mishlei, Shir Hashirim, Koheles. So they were responsible for writing four authorship of four of the Sfarim of Tanakh, Sefer Yeshayahu, simple question. Why didn't Yeshayahu write Sefer Yeshayahu? Rashi on the top of the Amud. Rashi writes, Shahargu Menashe. Yeshayahu was killed by Menashe. And Velokasov Sifro. And so therefore Yeshayahu did not have the opportunity to write his own Sefer because he simply did not expect to die prematurely. And Rashi gives us the Yesod. And Rashi writes, Shalawaya Nevim Kosim Sifraim Ela Lifne Mosan. That typically the Nevim would not write their Sefer until they were approaching their death. Yeshayahu's demise was untimely, and so therefore he did not write his own Sefer, and that's why Chizkiyahu v'Siaso wrote Sefer Yeshayahu. Okay, so Chizkiyahu and his colleagues were responsible for the authorship for the Sfarim, and then finally Anshe Knesset HaGedolah, so the men of the Great Assembly who were the Nevi'im, the last of the Nevi'im who introduced us to by Sheni, so they were responsible for writing Yechezkel Shneimasar, Daniel Megillas Esther, the authorship of Sefer Yecheskel and Treyasar and Daniel and Megillas Esther. Okay, and again, let's ask some simple questions over here. So, why didn't Yecheskel write Sefer Yecheskel? And so if you take a look at Rashi, the next Rashi in the Amud, so he writes, Mishle Koheles, so Dichsib is Sefer, Mishle, Asheri, Tukon, Sheh Chizkiyahu, V'chule. Okay, so, V'al Sheh Chizkiyahu, Garm Lehem Lasuk, B'tor, Kedarmina B'chelek, Now it's Cherval Pesach, Beis HaMedrash, V'chule, Nikra Hadavar Al Shmo. Chizkiyahu was responsible for a tremendous Baal Tshuva movement during his day, and so therefore he was given credit for writing this farm. That's not the Rashi that I wanted right now, but anyway, okay, that was good. Okay, so wait, yeah. So Anshe Knesset HaGedolah, next Rashi, Chagat Zechariah Malachi Zerubbabel Mordechai Vechavrehem, who are members of Anshe Knesset HaGedolah. So Rashi quotes the last of the Nevi'im, Chagat Zechariah Malachi, which we already described earlier this morning, is being the last of the Nevi'im, together with Zerubbabel, Mordechai, and all of their colleagues. So they were responsible for writing Sefer Yecheskel, together with three other Sfarim. Why didn't Yecheskel write Yecheskel? Next Rashi. Rashi writes, in his Nave Begola. So Yecheskel's Nevuah came in the exile. V'eni yodeh alam alo kesri Yecheskel ba'atzmo. Im lo mimne shalo ninna Nevuah likasi b'chutz la'aretz. So Rashi says, I'm going to hypothesize that maybe Yecheskel did not write his own Sefer because the Nevuah that came to him came in Chutz Haaretz. V'kasum eila l'achrish b'Eretz Yisrael. And only at a later point in time, when Anshe Knesset HaGedolah was in Eretz Yisrael, then and only then did they write Sefer Yecheskel, even though Yecheskel himself was the one who had the Nevuah. V'chein Sefer Daniel, Rashi continues. And I'll say the same thing also regarding Sefer Daniel. Shaya b'gola v'chein Megillas Esther. Megillas Esther. So, and this also would be a wonderful explanation, says Rashi, for why Daniel did not author Daniel. Why didn't, I guess he would say Mordechai, although he was responsible. What Megillas Esther also wasn't written at the time; it was only written at a later point in time. So again, Rashi says, based on my theory, it works out good because I'm telling you that the Sfarim cannot be written outside of Eretz Yisrael, even though there was Nevuah outside of Eretz Yisrael. But those Sfarim are not going to be written outside of Eretz Yisrael. So only upon the return into Eretz Yisrael in Binyan by Sheni, then and only then were these Sfarim written down by Anshe Knesset HaGedolah. Now, what about Treyasar? Rashi continues. Ushnema Samitok Shaya Nivuasam Nivuasem Katnos Lokasum Anavim Atzmam Ish Sifro. So, and as far as Treyasar Sarashi says there, the Nevuahs were very small. The Nevi'im themselves did not write it down. They knew they were end of the line in terms of Nevi'as. So they were the ones who wrote Treyasar down. And so because they were small Nevi'im, so therefore what they did is they consolidated Treyasar into one sefer, so none of it would get lost. You can ask, and I saw in the Masifta he asked this question. You can ask the question that Rus is also a very small sefer. Rus is all four prakim. So if the issue is it's so small it's going to get lost, so why wasn't Rus also bundled with another sefer? Okay, it's a good question. It demands an answer. Anyway, we're going to go on in the Gemara. I'm almost done with this part. Divrei Hayam. I'm sorry. Megillas Esther. Ezra Kosov Sifro. I'm sorry. Ezra Kosov Sifro. We are now winding down to the end of the authorships. Ezra was responsible for writing his Sefer, meaning Sefer Ezra. We call it Ezra Nehemiah, right? From the standpoint of the original canon, so it was just called Sefer Ezra. Right, you'll see in just a moment why we call Ezra Nehemiah, but it really is just Sefer Ezra. And now, as far as Divrei Hayamim is concerned, so Ezra writes Divrei Hayamim up until his generation. As far as Ezra's concern, his Yichus was recorded in Divrei Hayamim, then and only then did he go up to Eretz Yisrael. When we learned together the fourth parak of Kedushin, it was a little while ago, but when we learned together, so the Gemara spent a lot of time over there. A good part of the fourth parak of Kedushin had to do with Yichus, had to do with lineage, with pedigree, and Ezra was meticulous in terms of keeping the Yichus of Bnei Yisrael as best recorded as he could. And the Gemara over here notes that Divrei Hayamim was records of Yichus that was authored by Ezra. But he didn't finish Divrei Hayamim because, quite frankly, historically, you know, he was in the end. Uman Aske, who finished up Divrei Hayamim? Nechemya ben Chachilai. So, okay, so Nechemya was the one who finished up Divrei Hayamim. So, okay, there's Nechemya in our Gemara. So, in terms of authorship, he was there to contribute and finalize the end of Divrei Hayamim. Okay, that's a lot. That was just a lot of information packed into the first half of today's shiur and the first half of today's daf. Okay, and what we're going to do now is basically, I'll breathe for just a moment, and we're going to go back and we're going to basically pick out a couple of points that were discussed up until now. So we discussed Seder, we talked about the order of Sifrei Tanakh, and we talked about authorship of Sifrei Tanakh, and now the Gemara is going to comment on a couple of points. Amar Yehoshua Katzin Sifro Shemun Psukim Shebetorah. So Yehoshua was responsible for writing his own Sefer and also the last eight Psukim of the Torah. So clearly the Brisa that was recorded on the bottom of the previous Amud is of the opinion that Torah's Moshe was written mostly by Moshe Rabbeinu, with exception to the last eight psukim that were written by Yehoshua. Tanya Kamandam, Rishmon Psukim Shebetorah Yehoshua Kasvan. And the Gemara here quotes the Brisa, and the Brisa is making the observation that the Brisa that we started today's share with is going to coordinate with the opinion that Yehoshua was responsible for the last eight psukim of the Torah, Ditanya, and the Gemara here quotes a Brisa. We will see this Brisa two times in Shas. We'll see it here, and we'll see it again in Menachos, and it's worthy of its own separate discussion, its own separate shir. We're going to learn it just in the context of the daf, meaning quickly. Now, in the last psukim of the Torah, so it says that Moshe died, and how can he write that when he didn't die yet? So, Ella, Adkan, so the first opinion of the Brisa is that those last eight psukim were not written by Moshe Rabbeinu, but rather written by Yehoshua. Can't be that the Torah cannot be missing a letter. And it's called Sefer Torah, meaning the Sefer Torah is a unit, it's a complete unit. Moshe Rabbeinu was responsible for writing every single letter of the Torah. So I cannot fathom, says Rabbi Shimon, that the entirety of the Torah was not written by Moshe. Of course the whole thing was written by Moshe. Ela Adkan, Akash Baruch Omer, Moshe Omer V'Kosev. So we're going to say it like this, that Moshe Rabbeinu wrote every letter of the Torah, the last eight psukim as well. And there's only going to be, we're going to note that there's differences between Kol HaTorah Kula, with exception to those last eight psukim. Up until the last eight psukim, so Adkan HaKadosh Baruch Hu Omer, Kadosh Baruch Hu would dictate to Moshe, Moshe Omer V'Kosev, and Moshe would repeat that which he heard from Hashem, and then he would write. Mikan Ve'elech HaKadosh Baruch Hu Omer, Moshe V'Kosev B'Demam. Up until that very point in time, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu would then say, Moshe would not repeat, he would just write, and bedema. Now, presumably what bedema means over here is that he was writing with tears. Now, the simplest way to say over the Gemara, the simple pshat of the Gemara, is that he was writing with tears because he's writing about his death. So it's emotional. So he wrote with tears. That's a simple way to say the Gemara. There are other ways to say over the Gemara. Famously, notably, the Gra has over here a classic and really profound way to say over the Gemara. You'll forgive me. I'm not going to say over the Gra right now, but there are other ways to say over the Gemara. Kamosha Namar Lahalam. I'm just going to continue for now. Kamosha Namar Lahalam. Vayomer Lahem Baruch Mipi Vikarei Elai. It's called Advarim Ha'ela Va'ani Kosev Al Sefer B'Dio. The Torah describes that. Right, this is Sefer Yirmiyahu, but using it to describe the writing of the Torah, Ani Koseva Sefer B'Dio, I wrote everything with ink. So the assumption is that Moshe was responsible for the writing of the entirety of the Torah. All right, so what do we have over here in this Braisa? Machlok is between Tanayim, Rabbi Yehuda, or Rabbi Nechemiah against Rabbi Shimon in terms of the authorship of the last eight psukim of the Torah. Rabbi Shimon says all of it is written by Moshe. Rabbi Yehuda or Rabbi Nechemiah says not the last eight psukim. And the Braisa that start off the daf today coordinates with the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda and or Rabbi Nechemiah. Kaman Azlahad, Rabbi Yeshua Bar Abba, Amar Rav Gidol, Amar Rav. The Gemara says over a halacha, which is Shimon Psukim Shabatorah Yachid Kari Osam. Then when you get to the last eight psukim of the Torah, so an individual reads them. What exactly does that mean? So once again, its own shiur, its own separate discussion. I'm just going to say over the Rashi. Rashi says that Yachid Omer. First I have to find the Rashi. Yachid Kore Osam Klomer Ein Mafsikin Behem. So you cannot stop in those last eight psukim. We know that when you're landing on Shabbos, so you could stop, you can make osafos, you can put in additional aliyos. However, Rashi is telling us that these last eight psukim were, because they're different. We'll explain what that means in just a second. So therefore, when you get to those last eight psukim, you cannot stop it, you have to go to the end. That is Rashi's understanding of the Gemara over here. There are many other understandings of the Gemara over here, but right now I'm just going to say over the Rashi. What the Gemara is assuming is that must be, why are these eight psukim different? Because Yoshua authored them. And so therefore the Gemara is assuming that these last eight psukim were authored by Moshe Rabbeinu. So the Gemara says, Yachid Kore Osam Lema Delo Kerebi Shimon. So it must be that it's not going like Rabbi Shimon, because Rabbi Shimon says that Moshe Rabbeinu also wrote these last eight psukim. And so why would they be different? So it must be that this is not the sheet of Rabbi Shimon. The Gemara says, you don't have to say that. Afilu Tim Rabbi Shimon Hol Vishtanu Ishtanu. The Gemara says, no, even Rabbi Shimon would agree with this halacha. Why? Because even according to Rabbi Shimon, yes, Moshe Rabbeinu was responsible for the writing of these last eight psukim, but he did so in a qualitatively different manner. He didn't repeat that which HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him. He wrote in Bedema, and again, let's just say simply, he wrote them while crying. So there was a qualitative difference in the way Moshe Rabbeinu wrote them, and that's why even he could agree with this halacha of Yachid Kore Osam. Okay. Yoshua Kasef Sifro, halfway down on Tezvav Amid Aleph, Yoshua wrote his own Sefer, Vaksi Vayamas Yoshua Ben Nun, Eved Hashem. Now, once again, we get to the problem, which is that he died towards the end of the Sefer, but, in other words, who wrote the last Pesukim? So the Gemara says, Da'aske Elazar. So the Gemara says, Elazar picked it up from where Yoshua died. Vaksi Elazar Ben Aaron Meis. So, okay, but he also died at the end of the Sefer. Da'aske Pinchas. Okay, so Pinchas finished up the last Pesukim at the end. Shmuel Kasav Sifro. Shmuel was responsible for writing his own Sefer. So, and also Sefer Shoftim as well. So the Gemara says, Vaksi Shmuel Meis. Da'aske Gad HaChosev V'Nasan HaNavi. Okay, so again, same problem, same solution. He died at the end, towards the end of the Sefer Shmuel. So the Gemara says, yeah. So the Nevi'im picked up specifically God, and Nathan picked up the where he died. V'David kasef Sefer Tehillim ayidei Asar Zekinim v'lech shavnami Eisan Ezrachi. So why, when going over the 10 people mentioned, why not also include Eisan Ezrachi? Amarav Eisan Ezrachi zehu Avraham. Eisan Ezrachi is none other than Avraham Avinu. Ksiv hacha Eisan Ezrachi v'ksiv. So the So they are AKAs. They're just simply different ways of describing Avraham Avinu. So that's why he wasn't included, because he is included, because Esan is none other than Avraham. So the Gemara says Kachashi Moshe veKachashi Haman. So the Gemara says, okay, but in other words, when describing the Asar Zekanim responsible for the authorship of Sefer Tehillim, so you wrote Moshe and Haman veAmarav Haman Zeh Moshe, and meanwhile Haman is an AKA of Moshe. Ksivacha Haman veKsivasim bechol. So you see that Moshe also went by the name Haman, which is a cognate of the word Ne'emanus, which is a description of Moshe. So the Gemara says Haman Hava. So the Gemara says, okay, but that's true, but there was Haman, which is an AKA of Moshe, and there was another Haman altogether. And the Gemara says, and the Haman being described in the authorship of Sefer Tehillim is a different Haman, in addition to Moshe. Moshe cuts the Sifra, Parshas Bilam, the Eov. So the Gemara goes back to what we said in terms of authorship, which is that Moshe was responsible for writing his Sefer, and Bilam, Parshas Bilam, which we described earlier this morning, and also Sefer Eov. Now, Misayela le Rabbi Levi Bar Lachma, the Amr of Levi Bar Lachma, Eov bime Moshe Haya. Okay, so, as we will see over the course of the remainder of today's daf, Eov is a moving target historically. Where did he live? There is an opinion which says that Eov lived during the days of Moshe. So obviously the Brisa that we started off this morning with is supportive of this position. So you see that the connections of the word Efo give us a hint that Moshe lived during the times of Eov. So the Gemara says, "Ve'ema bimei Yitzchak tesiv mi ifo hu hatzad tzayin." So the Gemara says, if Efo is the word that gives us the clue and the hint in terms of when historically Eov lives, and when we put it back by Yitzchak, well, you see the word Efo is recorded over there. "Ve'ema bimei Yaakov tesiv imkain Efo zos asu." "Ve'ema bimei Yosef tesiv Efo heim roim." So the Gemara says, "Okay, but I have the word Efo by Yaakov, by Yosef. So why don't we put Eov over there?" So lo. The Gemara says, I'm not entertaining such havaminas. Why? It would seem that the strongest evidence is that Eov was during the Moshe, during Yimei Moshe, because in Sefer Eov it says the word Sefer viyuchku umoshe who deikrei mechol cake, and Moshe was the one who was described as a mechol cake, the one who sets up laws. Dechsev vayarishislo kisham chelkas mechol cake safon. So the clearest evidence is that that Eov lived during the time of Moshe. Okay, so what do we have so far? One opinion, and that is Eov lived during the times of Moshe Rabbeinu. And here we go with more opinions on the matter. Rava Amar Eov bimei Meraglim haya. Eov lived during the time of the Meraglim, which of course parenthetically is also during the times of Moshe, but more specifically during the times of the Meraglim. Ksiv hacha isha ya ba'aretz utz Eov shmo v'ksiv hasam hayesh ba eitz. So the word eitz is connecting a pasuk can say for Eov to that of the Meraglim. Mi dami acha utz hasam eitz. So the Gemara says, okay, but it's not the same word, right? It's utz versus eitz. So the Gemara says, hachi kam aluhu Moshe l'Yisrael yeshno l'oso adam sheshnosav aruchos ke'eitz umegin al daro ke'eitz. No, the Gemara says that what is meant by that is that there was someone living in Eretz Yisrael, longevity like a tree, providing protection in his chus for the people currently occupying, living in Eretz Yisrael, like a tree, and that's a reference to Eov. Yosef, Omer, Rabban, Kamei, Derev, Shmuel, Barnech.
One
Eifo
is with a
vuv,
and the other one is...
Okay, fine. Yosef, Homer, Rabban, Kamei, Derev, Shmuel, Barnech, Mevi, Yosef, Vikamar, Eov, Lo Hayev, Lo Nivra, Ela, Mashal, Haya. Another opinion, which is that Eov is not historical, but rather a parable. Eov is a mashal. Eov is there to teach us lessons about Tzadik V'Ra'lo. Not, by the way, not to answer Tzadik V'Ra'lo. It's not going to provide for us a understanding of why, but it's a description. And it just... It basically helps us cope, but it's meant as a mashal, and it's not a historical. It's It's not a historical record. So the Gemara says, I don't agree with you. Meaning, if it's a mashal, so why then are we giving the name as if this is a person who lived? So the Gemara says, So the Gemara says, just because we're identifying people does not mean that it is necessarily a personality who lived. For example, when we turn to the Navi going over to David HaMelech and giving him a mashal, clearly in the context of the Navi, it's a mashal. We know it's a mashal. And he's talking about a person with a sheep, and it's a mashal. So, mi hava ela mashal ba'ama. Hachanami mashal ba'ama. So the Gemara says, we know that sometimes the Navi gives us mashalim. So to turn back now to Sefer Yehov and to describe it as a mashal is not, it's not preposterous. So im kein shmo v'shem iro lama. So the Gemara says, no, but I still disagree with you. Because when you're giving somebody a name, and the name of the city where it comes from, at that point in time it no longer becomes a mashal, it becomes now a personality, a real personality. And so basically I disagree. I don't think it's a mashal, I think it's a real personality. Rabbi Yochanan v'Rav Elazar d'Amri Tava Yuv me'ole gola haya. We are now going to give another opinion, a fourth opinion, that Eov was coming up from the exile. Now, mind you, by the way, the historical discrepancy that we are describing over here is massive. Meaning we're going from the time of Moshe Rabbeinu, now we're going to Ole Bavel. So we are describing almost a millennia of Jewish history, that's spanning this. So when I say Eov is a moving target, I mean with a wide gap of position over here. Eov was Ole Gola Haya U Beis Medrasha B'Tveria Haya, and the Beis Medrash of Eov can be found in Tveria. Meis Ve'Yemesh Nosav Sheov Mishas Shenichnusu Yisrael LeMitzrayim Ve'Ad Sheyatzu. The years of Eov was from the time that they entered into Mitzrayim until they left. So the Gemara says, so you see over here, based on that Mesorah that we have, that historically we're placing him at the time of Moshe Rabbeinu and Galus Mitzrayim, not Galus Bavel. So the Gemara says, Ema ki Mishah Shenichnei Yisrael LeMitzrayim Ve'ad Shashiyatsu. So the Gemara says, that's not telling us historically when he lived, that's just giving us a span of how long he lived. But where he lived was later on by the Galus Bavel, not Galus Mitzrayim. So Ema ki Mishah Shenichnei Yisrael LeMitzrayim Ve'ad Shashiyatsu. Meitzvei, the Gemara is going to challenge Shiv Nevi'im Nisnav V'lo Mosa Olam V'Elohein. There are seven Nevi'im who prophesied for the nations of the world, and they are Bilam, V'Aviv, V'Eov, Eliphaz HaTemani, U'Bildad HaShuchi, V'Tzofar HaNemasi, V'Eliyahu Ben Birkael HaBuzi. So we have over here on record that he was one of the Nevi'im for the Umas HaOlam. So you see that he was a Nachri. So he was not a Jew. U'Tamech Eliyahu Ben Birkael Lav Yisrael Hava. So So the Gemara says, okay, but one of the others who was recorded as being a Navi was Eliyahu ben Berkal, and he was not Jewish. And it says he was Mishpachas Ram, Allah, Invui Invelu Umos Olam, Hachanami Eov Invui Invo Li Umos Olam. So the Gemara says, no. So we're going to say that he was there to prophesy on behalf of the non Jewish people, but he himself was Jewish. Atukul Neviya Milo Invul Umos Olam. So the Gemara says, well, what do you mean? The prophecies that are given also for Umas Olam. So the Gemara says no. Hasam Iker Nevu Asar LeYisrael. Hachar Iker Nevu Asar LeUmas Olam. The Gemara says no. In terms of mission statements, when it comes to Eov, he was a Jew who primarily was there to prophesize for the other nations of the world. Masha Enkain, you know, classic Nevi'im who primarily were there to provide Nevuah for the Jewish people. Meisvei, the Gemara is going to challenge Chassid Hayabu Umas Olam V'Eov Shmo. There was a righteous person amongst the Umas Olam, and his name was Eov. V'lo Bala Olam L'Kabas Charo. And I came into the world in order to give him reward. Hey, V'Kadosh Baruch Hu Olav Yisurim, Hischa Mecharev Megadev. Kadosh Baruch Hu gave him suffering, and he began to blaspheme. So Kadosh Baruch Hu then doubled his reward in this world in order to be Torah to him from the world to come. Okay, I mentioned earlier this morning, right? Eov ends on a positive note, meaning he goes through a lot of suffering, but at the end, and he ends on a positive note. He has a new family, he has new children. Again, we'll discuss more of that tomorrow's daf. But in the meantime, in the context of our Gemara, the Gemara says that, yes, meaning the original plan was to give him schar to reward for all the yisurim, for all the punishment that he had. But then he blasphemed the Kadosh Baruch Hu. So Kadosh Baruch Hu says, that's it, I'm done. Gave him schar, but only so that he would not have any reward in the world to come. And the Gemara points out, now, I'm sorry, let's go back to the beginning of this morning's shir, where we pointed out that as far as Rus is concerned, it started with Parnias, but the Gemara says, yeah, but it ended with a hope. And that's why Rus was put in the beginning of Ksuvim. Eiv, on the other hand, was all destroyed. And Tosus asked the question we saw earlier this morning.
He didn't end with hope also.
So Tosus asked the question. What did Eov also end with hope? So Tosus quoted the Gemara. This is the Gemara that we just read right now. That yeah, but it was not a real hope. It was just there to give whatever schar Eov deserved. But the truth of the matter is to remove him from the world to come. Okay, Tanaihi. So the Gemara now is bothered by the fact, was Eov Jewish or not Jewish? So the Gemara says a concession that it's a machlokas. So Rebbe Lazar Amar Eov Bimei Shvara Shoftim Haya. So the Gemara says that according to another opinion, he lived during the Shoftim. Shenemar Heinatem Kuchem Chazitzim V'lama Zeh Hevel Ta'abulu. So the Gemara quotes a pasuk from Eov. So Ezer Dur Shekulo Hevel. Eov lived during a generation of futility, and that was a description of Havei Amar Zeh Dor Shol Shvara of Tim. That was during the time of the judges. Rabbi Yoshua ben Karchomer, Eov Bimei Achashverosh Haya. It's a moving target. In terms of when he lived, another opinion, he lived during the time of Achashverosh. And Emer V'lo Nimtza Nashim Yafos Kebanos Eov B'chol Aretz. In terms of having beautiful daughters, nobody had beautiful daughters like that of Eov. Ezu Dorsh in this Bashkesh Bo Nashim Yafos. Which generation, which time period had beautiful daughters, so beautiful women? So Avi Amr Zed Dorsh Achashverosh, that was the generation of Achashverosh. Ve'im Abimei David Yechziv Ve'ivakshu Nara Yafa. There were other generations where they were looking for Nara Yafa, specifically during the time of David HaMelech. So also Bechol Gvul Yisrael Hacha Bechol Haaretz. So as far as David and his search for beautiful women, that was only limited to Eretz Yisrael. As far as Achashverosh, she was looking universally for beautiful women. Rabbi Nelson Amar Eov Bimei Malchus Shivo Haya. He lived during the times of Shivo. Shenema V'tipol Shivo V'tikachem. V'chacham Amar Eov Bimei Kasdim Haya. Lived during the time of Kasdim. Shenema Kasdim Shmo Shoshav Hashim. V'yeshor Amar Eov Bimei Yaakov Haya. Eov lived during the time of Yaakov. V'dina Bas Yaakov Nasa. Ksiv hacha kadavar achas agvulos tedabri uksiv hasam ki navala asa b'Yisrael. So again, linking the word nevala, found in Sefer Eov, sound by Yaakov, we have Eov living during the times of Yaakov. V'kulu tonight sfir lehudi Eov miYisrael havai labar miYesh omrim. So as far as now to the question we asked earlier, was Eov Jewish or not Jewish? So all the Tanaim over here are of the opinion that Eov was a Jew, with exception to the Yesh omrim. Yisak adachem umas haolam haya basta deshachim Moshim mishar yeshchina alov dekochavim. Because after the death of Moshe Rabbeinu, Kadosh Baruch Hu Shechina did not rest on of dekochavim. The Ha'amar Mar Bikesh Moshe Shalot Tishra Shechina Alav Dekochavim V'Nasan Lo Shenemar V'Niflinu Aniva Amecha. So we know that Moshe made a request to Kadosh Baruch Hu that after his death the Shechina should not fall on anyone outside of the of Bnei Yisrael. Okay. Now is a good time to breathe, and in addition to breathe, also we're going to pause over here, and so let's just quickly recap. Wow. Okay. This morning we started with the question of the Seder of Nevi'im and Ksuvim. We went through the 8th Sfarim of Nevi'im, and we went through the 11th Sfarim of Ksuvim. A little bit we discussed in terms of the order of the Nevi'im and the order of the Ksuvim. First four of Nevi'im are clearly chronological. The next four are not chronological, but rather thematic. We discussed that earlier. Sefer Ksuvim, we did order, and we didn't describe much in terms of the order, but it started with Rus, and it basically went on from there in terms of Ksuvim. Okay, we talked about authorship for today. Big fundamental daf in terms of describing the authorship of who wrote what. Takes us to the top of Tesvav Amin Aleph and describing authorship. Some basic yesodas in terms of when the Nevi'im wrote their Sfarim. Sometimes Navi didn't had an untimely demise and therefore didn't write his own Sefer and therefore was picked up by somebody else. Also, Rashi has a postulated earlier this morning that a Navi living outside of Eretz Yisrael could have Nevuah, but it's not meant to be written down, and only at a later point in time historically when the Nevi'im returned to Eretz Yisrael was it written down. And then a lengthy discussion of who was the author of the last eight Pesukim of the Torah, Machlokas Tanayim. Our Braisa we started off with this morning clearly works with the opinion that it was not Moshe Rabbeinu, but rather it was Yehoshua. A halacha defining the distinction of the last eight Pesukim of the Torah. I only presented Rashi today in terms of explaining it. And then the remainder of today's daf today, which will continue well into tomorrow's daf, is the identity of Eov, who he was. Who was he? The answer is, it's a moving target. There are many opinions in the Gemara. We'll stop here.